I just popping in here at the top of this episode to apologize that it did not come out before Christmas. There's just been a lot of life happening, and obviously it was the holidays, and apologies if you can hear my dog snoring right now. She's my editing buddy, and this is Daphne, by the way. apologies that this episode did not come out, but hopefully you enjoy it. So on to the episode. It's episode 9 of That's Disturbing. Woo woo! I'm Daphne.
I'm Gail.
And we're back at it again.
Yes, we are.
For another episode. Another Christmas episode.
Ooh, is it a Christmas episode, Daph?
It's a Christmas episode because guess what?
Yeah.
Christmas is this week.
Yay!
And we're going to drop this before Christmas.
Yeah, cool.
Because our schedule's
Sunday, which is the beginning of next week. Not to correct you, but
Sorry. Our posting schedule's been a little bit wonky, just given our personal schedules and when we're able to edit and such. But this episode will be out before Christmas. So I guess by the end of this week.
Yes, indeed.
Before Christmas.
Before Christmas, which is Sunday.
Yes, okay, we get it.
Okay, cool.
Everybody gets it.
All right, cool.
See, I always view Sunday as the end of my week and Monday as the beginning.
Yeah, a lot of people do.
Because you know why? There's not an order. Well, I guess there's an order in which it goes, but it doesn't necessarily, like, even in my planners, Sunday's always at the end of my week and Mondays are at the beginning.
Okay.
So.
Apparently you're not supposed to have a schedule on Sunday, which is great.
Yeah, basically. It's when you're supposed to stay home and do nothing, but that's never what happens, is it?
No, Sunday's the busiest day of the week.
Yeah, basically, because that's when you don't have to go to work and there's just nothing else required except for everything else that's required that you didn't do throughout the week.
Right. Laundry, shopping.
All of the things.
Yes.
Wow, we're so in sync. So, Mom, we have an Instagram that nobody is following.
Ugh, so annoying.
At That's Disturbing Podcast. Give us a follow. I dare you.
There you go. I double dare you.
Yeah, there you go. Double dog dare. Follow us or else. Dun, dun, dun. Remember, we're That's Disturbing, so we can say that. Dun, dun, dun.
I like how you say we're That's Disturbing.
We are. That's us. We're disturbing.
Yeah, super.
People look at us and they go, oh, that's disturbing. Maybe it's because we look like twins and we're mother-daughter.
Right.
But I don't know. It's a compliment to both of us. I could look a lot worse than you.
I could also look a lot worse than you.
There and we
I don't
go.
Think people think we look like twins, but like sisters.
I don't know. People get us confused all the time. Even my own dad gets us confused when we're on the phone. He's like, Gail, Daphne. Yeah, basically, whichever one you are. And it's even more insulting because we have a pit bull and her name is Daisy. And my parents will go, Daphne, Daisy. It's like rude.
Yeah, we get them confused because they both just spend a lot of time sleeping in their beds unless they're leaving the house.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
And we like food a lot. Our favorite food is pizza, both of us.
Yep.
We both enjoy our pizza.
We say Daisy's the Italian pit bull. Yeah. She loves pizza. Although, is pizza even Italian? I'm not going to open that can of worms.
I wouldn't open that can of worms either. So that was a good one. Can of worms. That's a phrase people understand and know. Instead of your weird verbiages.
Okay.
Ball of wax. All right. What's your disturbing fact? What do you got for us today?
Okay. So I don't technically have a disturbing fact, but I'm circling back to what we were talking about the last episode about execution time, last meals, and all of that. So I just had to look it up because I was really curious about whether or not my statement about most executions happening at night was correct. And it is.
Right.
And so
okay.
Most executions are carried out after 6 p.m. so that they can wait to make sure that the governor isn't going to give the person who's being executed a stay of execution. Excuse me.
That's okay. You just sound like a 12-year-old boy. It's fine.
It's fine.
No 12-year-old boy should be listening to this, so they won't take offense to it.
There you go. So anyway, that's the reason that most executions are carried out at night. However, we talked about Ted Bundy and John Wayne Gacy. And so Ted Bundy was executed at 7 in the morning, pronounced dead at 7:16 a.m. And I don't know why. I I seriously looked and looked and I could not find the answer. But I feel like it's because he was so trying not to die that he was pulling out every stop he could, right?
Right. I feel like that makes sense. Dad listens to this podcast. I don't know what it's called. I'll have to say the name of it on the next episode or the following when I ask him. Anyway, or I can say it at the end of the podcast. We can ask him and put it in a clip. He was telling me that, because he was listening to our Christmas Killings episode, and he was saying that on this podcast he listens to, it's all about like prison, the inside life of prison, that they only have 20 minutes to eat.
Oh, there is a time limit?
There is a time limit, and a lot of them do not request meals because they're pissed.
Oh, that's weird. So when I was doing this research, I'm getting to the last meal thing.
Yeah.
It said that John Wayne Gacy, because he was being held in one prison and then he was going to be executed in another prison.
Why is that?
I don't know. I didn't look at that. I only looked at time of death and food.
We should have known. I would ask why.
I'm sorry.
I'm like a child. Why? Why? Well, probably, why? Why? Mom, why?
I don't know. I just want to assume, which may not be correct, that they didn't have the executioning stuff at the other, the tools to carry out the execution at the prison that he was at. That would be my guess. Okay. Otherwise, why would you move him? It was saying that the day before he was executed, when he was moved to that new prison, that he had a picnic with his family. And that then he had his last meal.
Uh-huh.
So that wouldn't be 20 minutes.
Yeah, that would not be 20 minutes.
No.
Unless they only gave him a time limit of 20 minutes Maybe. To sit with his family.
I don't know. We should probably research that, too.
We should. But we can bring that. Yeah. Bring that forward another time.
Getting back to the last meal thing, Ted Bundy refused to make a special request for his last meal. He called his mom twice. Like I said, he was trying to get out of dying. They fed him steak, medium rare, eggs over easy, toast with butter and jelly, milk, coffee, juice, and hash browns. And he didn't eat a single bite. So he died on an empty stomach and died crying. Because he was in the electric chair trying not to die, and he was crying when he was put to death.
That's kind of sad.
Well, he deserved it.
No, he did, but sad that he died crying.
But, I mean, look at what he did to all of his victims.
However, I suppose that that's good for the coroners that he didn't need anything. There's no sludge coming out of all this ends.
Gross.
Of all the holes.
All of the holes. John Wayne Gacy was executed at, pronounced dead at 12:58 a.m. So his execution was in the middle of the night following traditionally executions being later in the evening.
Okay.
And his last meal, as I said, he was allowed a private picnic on the prison grounds, easy for me to say, with his family. And for his last meal, he ordered a bucket of KFC, a dozen fried shrimp, French fries, fresh strawberries, and a Diet Coke. Then a priest came and they had a prayer with it. But it's just kind of funny that he had Kentucky Fried Chicken, given that he was like the manager.
And killed several of his, or I don't know. Did he kill any of those boys?
I don't think so, but I think that's when he like started luring them in, and like that's when he was kind of
honing. He was raping them?
Yeah, and he was honing his craft before he decided that he had to kill him in order to do what he was doing.
Yeah. Dirty piece of shit.
Yeah, he was not cool.
Yeah. Dirty piece of shit is all I have to say about that guy.
So I hope that helps clear up some information from last time.
It does. It was a lot of information that I didn't know. So now I'm thinking, the more you know.
Well, and you know what else is weird? Is that they have a standard meal if you don't want one. Like, if you don't ask for something special.
Okay, so what if, like, you hate over easy eggs? Could it be scrambled? Or if you like your steak like shoe leather? Like, I don't want this shit medium rare. Yeah. I do. I don't like it like shoe leather. But I know people who do. I like it medium rare myself. Right. But I'm just wondering.
So you'd be good with the last meal.
I'm playing the devil's advocate.
Okay.
Yeah, I actually enjoyed everything that was in the last meal a lot. Except. If I'm getting coffee, that shit better be like a Starbucks. not just like some straight up black coffee. I don't do that.
Yeah.
Or if they're going to give me creamer, like it better be some good creamer, like Starbucks pumpkin spice creamer. I wish that they would sponsor us.
There you go.
I love me some Starbucks.
Who doesn't love some Starbucks?
So good. Gets me buzzing every day. Gets me going with my day. It's awesome.
It is awesome.
All right.
Ready? On to the case, Daff.
Yes.
Dun, dun,
dun. Dun, dun, dun. Donna.
That's Jaws.
I know.
That's different.
Well, that's my favorite animal, so.
That is fair.
Okay. Our story takes place today on Christmas Day of 1929 in Germantown, North Carolina. And our case is about the Lawson family today.
Okay.
It's called the Lawson Family Murders, is if you're going to Google the case.
Okay. Okay.
That's what it's called.
It's sad that it's on Christmas Day.
Yeah. Well, wait till you hear what's going to happen.
Oh, I don't.
Yeah. So I'm going to give you just a little bit of history about Germantown.
I love the history part.
On Christmas Day that year, there were 6 to 8 inches of snow on the ground.
That's quite a bit of snow.
That is a bit of snow. But I guess being in like New England area, it's not that much snow.
It's North Carolina.
But it's like... Somebody get me a map. Somebody take away my geography minor.
No shit. Yeah, okay.
Well, I meant like, I don't know.
It's north. It snows.
Yeah, it's north. It snows in my brain.
There you go.
Even though it's just north of South Carolina, which is like pretty standard nice weather, I guess, most of the time.
It depends. I think they have ice storms and stuff like that.
Okay.
But I don't know. I'm not a weather expert. But
I'm not either.
I feel like 6 to 8 inches of snow in North Carolina.
I forgot to get my meteorology degree. So Germantown, it was established in 1790. The town was named after an influx of Germanic immigrants. They came to serve as part of Americans in the American Revolutionary War.
Okay.
And they were offered incentives to stay in the area.
So they came to serve as Americans.
I meant soldiers. Representatives of America against the Brits.
Yes. Even
the British are coming. The British are coming.
They came to be Americans. It's I guess fine. If you come to America, you're coming to be an American.
So. Right. If you're here, you're an American. It's cool. We love all of you. So the settlers in the area, they obviously included Germans. And you know, these Germans obviously fought against the crown because they were part of the Revolutionary War against England. And then the Hessians, who ironically supported the crown. So they're both there.
What are Hessians?
I don't know.
I'm
assuming they're people.
Should we pause it and Google it real quick?
We could do that. Okay, we just paused this to Google and had a pretty good laugh, so I needed to unpause this. So Hessians are Germans who fought with the Brits to keep America. So there's American Germans and then there's British Germans.
Right.
In the town of Germantown.
Yeah, that's so random.
Isn't that so weird?
Yeah. I'm glad I asked you because nothing else, we got a good laugh out of it.
Well, I mean, I didn't know that they were German, but I guess it makes sense that they support the crown if they're also soldier, or if they're, if they're soldiers.
British. Fighting in a war.
Who are British German soldiers. They're actually German, let's be clear. Everybody here's German.
Everybody fighting in this war is German.
They just...
Some of them support America and some of them support the Brits.
Right. Well, I guess at that point, was it America or was it just the 13 colonies?
In 1790, colonies, yeah. But it says the American Revolutionary War.
Yeah, but was it named that later or was it like the Colony War?
Pausing Google shit.
Okay, anyway, Major Joseph Winston, and he became a U.S. congressman later in his life. He was a well-known Germantown resident, and he had a nearby plantation. And, you know, of course, this isn't the Bible Belt area. Mm-hmm. However, the settlers there, they weren't settled for religious purposes, but, like, the main religion in the area is Lutheran, the Lutheran Church, which is, of course, a branch of Christianity.
Right.
An offshoot. And after the lands were used to mine coal at the time, then they were more converted to like a farming community.
Okay.
And of course, you know, when I'm talking about this time of the case is in 1929. Okay. So it's going to be post-World War II, but also the very top of the Great Depression. So, you know, we're coming out of the war, then we're in the roaring 20s, and then it's the Great Depression that hits all of a sudden.
Right. And then crashing down comes the economy.
Yes, yes, exactly. That's why it's called the Great Depression. It was an economic issue.
Yes. Thank you. Side note. In case you didn't know.
Right. So the Lawson family consisted of the husband. His name was Charles Davis Lawson. And he was 43 at the time of the murders. He was born in 1886 and his parents were named Augustus and Nancy. And he was from Lawsonville, which makes sense. His last name is Lawson, Lawsonville at that time.
Jeez. I didn't even catch that. Thanks for pointing that out. Wait a minute.
Lawson. Lawson. Lawson, Lawsonville, yeah. Right.
Wow.
It's all good.
Yeah.
I couldn't find the exact number, but he had was one of either somewhere from 8 to 13, somewhere in that range, had that many siblings.
That's a lot.
It is a lot of people.
Siblings.
A lot of children to bear.
Yeah, no thanks.
Right, especially in that time when, times were tough. But I guess you had kids to work in the farms.
Yes, you did. Yeah.
Well, did you in the early 1900s? I don't know. No, that was an indirect question. It was a direct question to you. I was just saying, I don't know. Actually, did they? Because this is also post-industrial revolution.
Okay, well, you're so... like, do you? I wouldn't personally know.
That wasn't the point. I was also born in the 1900s.
I take back the fuck you.
I was also born in the 1900s.
Okay. That is also true.
So the wife was, her name was Fanny Lawson, and she was 37. She was born in 1892, and her maiden name was Manring.
Did she come from Manringville?
I don't know where she came from. Manringville. I feel like it'd be like Manring Sun.
Manring Town.
Manrington.
Manrington.
Manrington. There you go. That makes more sense.
Although it's probably not a thing.
Although we just basically said the same thing. Manrington, Manrington. I just feel like it sounds better as the ton.
Right?
Manrington.
Are we laughing too much for murder?
We haven't gotten to murder yet.
I know. But we know what's going to happen.
How do we know?
Because you called it the Lawson family murders.
Okay. Anyway, moving on.
Spoiler alert.
They had
the title.
So they had 8 children in total. Again, a lot of kids.
Yeah.
I'm going to go through the daughters first, and then we'll go through the sons.
Okay.
There was Marie Lavin Lawson. She was 17 at the time. She was born in 1912. Carrie Lou Lawson, who was 12. She was born in 1917. Lucinda Maybelle Lawson, who was 7 and born in 1922. But I'm going to be referring to Lucinda Maybelle as Maybelle.
Okay.
Because everywhere she's referred to as Maybelle. Her proper first name was just Lucinda. So, I thought I'd give her her birth name.
Right.
And then there was Mary Lou Lawson, who was born in 1929. So she's obviously just a little baby at the time that this happened. She was either anywhere from 3 to 5 months old.
Okay.
Again, conflicting.
Love that.
So, and then the sons were James Arthur Lawson. He was 16 at the time, and he was born in 1913. So he doesn't go by James. His name, for sake of this case, is Arthur.
Okay.
That's actually what he was referred to as. I didn't just pull that out of my ass.
Okay, nope.
Not just for the sake of this case, we're not just calling him Arthur. It's actually what people referred to him as, but that was just his birth name again. Then there's James William Lawson, who was 4 years old and born in 1925.
James.
Yeah.
Sorry, I cut you off.
Yeah, so he was 4. Yeah, that's why I said that his name was Arthur.
Just FYI, we're recording in the daytime.
Yeah, there's a problem with this. It's only 4 o'clock. It's because we had a snowstorm, so my mom didn't have to work today.
Yeah,
it's pretty nice. It's pretty bougie of us.
Pretty nice.
And then there was Raymond Lawson. He was 2 years old. He was born in 1927. And then they had a son who was born in 1914. His name was William Sanders Lawson. He died at the age of 6 in 1920. Some sort. Sources say he died of an illness. Other sources say he died of pneumonia. So some sort of illness, right? As a 6-year-old.
That's really sad.
Yeah, it is.
It's common in that they couldn't cure stuff.
Right, exactly. Very, very common.
Right.
I mean, they just didn't have what they have today.
Yeah, they didn't.
They don't have those medical advances like there are today.
Right.
At least they didn't seek out a witch doctor. That we know of, I suppose.
Maybe that's what happened.
So a little bit about the family, a little bit of background. Charlie, he didn't come from a wealthy family. His parents were sharecroppers. So basically what a sharecropper is, Mom, is they rent a plot of land off of a person who's a property owner who has a farm. And so they can grow, but then they have to split the profit with the landowner.
That sucks.
So they rent this and then they also have to share their profit.
Yeah, that sucks.
It totally sucks. So this was obviously,
double paying.
Yeah, exactly.
It is double paying. It's not like it.
It is, yeah, because you're paying rent and you have to split your wages, essentially.
Right.
So this was obviously, not a great way to earn wealth, build wealth. And especially they didn't have, their own family farm that, they're doing this on.
Right.
So
rent.
Yeah, exactly. So they just weren't a well-off family, didn't come from money. The couple, they married in 1911. Obviously, like I said before, they had 8 children. They moved to Germantown in 1918 to be closer to Charlie's brothers, Marion and Elijah.
Mm-hmm.
And they began to share, or the family did, the Lawson family, Charlie did. He began sharecropping tobacco.
Oh, yeah, tobacco's big in that part of the country.
Yeah, huge.
Yeah,
even yeah.
still.
Right, exactly. And it's not good for you, but...
It's not.
There's a demand. And
huge.
So there's money to be had there.
There is money to be had unless you're sharecropping, I guess.
Right. Well, I guess he was doing well enough because by the time 1927 came around, they had enough money to buy a farmhouse on Brook Cove Road.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So farmhouse, right? He has land. They have property.
That's exciting.
It is.
Right.
So he doesn't have to sharecrop anymore.
Mm-hmm.
He's just a farmer now.
That's cool.
It is cool.
It makes me happy for them.
I know, right? Finally. And like, they're such a big family and they had the loss of obviously their little boy, William.
Mm-hmm.
And so they get to, like, I don't know, I don't want to say like begin again, but like finally like have their own power over what happens.
Right. I like it.
Yeah, I like it too.
Makes me happy for them.
So in the evenings, Charlie, Fanny, Arthur, their oldest son, and Marie, their oldest daughter, they would all fix up the farmhouse. And it's said that Charlie was a loving father, giving father, but he was also strict and hard on the kids when it was necessary.
Okay.
So a parent, like a parent, an ideal world, how a parent should be.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Love your kids, but don't
let them walk all over you.
Everything. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So this is great. Charlie, he accidentally hit himself in the head with an axe while taking out some dead wood.
Oh my gosh. What? How do you accidentally hit yourself in the head with an axe?
He probably just went too hard, pulled it out too fast. Ugh. Whack.
Velocity.
Right? Your velocity.
Well, shit.
I don't know. I don't know what the fuck velocity is. I flunked physics twice.
Force of moving, like inertia, kind of. Like a motion, an object in motion stays in motion, but this has like velocity behind it because it's not in motion, right? Because it presumably probably got stuck in the wood and then he's pulling it out. And then
yeah, he just probably whipped it back too hard and too fast.
Right, it springs back and hits him in the head.
Exactly.
Ooh.
So after the accident, people who knew him and lived in the area, they like began to notice a change in him, head injury.
Yeah, head injury.
Head injury.
I see where this is going.
2 weeks before Christmas, Charlie brought his family all to buy brand new clothes from Winston-Salem. And people raised their eyebrows around town because he was just a working farmer. Like, he wasn't known to, you know, take his family out to do, like, extravagant things, like, right in this time would be buying clothes.
Right, he doesn't have money to blow.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
He's a working class farmer. Like, he's not doing these things, especially in this time period.
Right, because it's 1929 and
the early, very early part of the Great Depression.
Right. And they're probably would be, you would think, socking away their money since they bought the farmhouse in 1927. They're probably trying to like save their money again.
Yeah.
Some savings again.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because they saved up all their money to buy the house.
Right.
So it just seemed off, right, to all these people. But anyway, he purchased clothes for the entire family, for his 7 children, his wife, himself.
So maybe, though, an early Christmas.
Yeah, that's exactly. He took his family out for an early Christmas surprise, and he went and got a portrait of all of them taken.
Aww.
And he demanded that they all, like, stayed in their clothes because he's like, it's a surprise, it's a surprise. Put on your new clothes, it's a surprise.
Aww, that's nice.
So they went and got a family portrait done.
That's really sweet.
It is.
I love that.
It is sweet and sinister. We'll post that picture on Instagram.
Okay. Well, those pictures back in those days too, people always, like, they never smiled.
Yeah.
They looked all like
eerie.
Yeah, they looked eerie.
Yeah, absolutely. It freaks me out that they didn't smile, but now I feel like we're, history is repeating itself on our driver's licenses. We can't smile.
Right.
And it's like, I look like a raging bitch.
Resting bitch face.
I swear I'm not.
Right.
Well, maybe. Depends on what attitude you catch me in, but...
Depends on the day.
Right, basically. So on Christmas Eve, Charlie withdrew all the money from his bank account, which was $60.
And that's a lot of money in 1929.
It is, and in the Great Depression.
Yeah, and to take it all out.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So he withdrew it all.
But weren't people taking money out of the bank anyway and, like, stashing it in their mattresses because banks were losing money and stuff?
I don't know. I know the stock market crashed,
yeah,
but I don't know about banks.
Yeah. Well, it's like in It's a Wonderful Life, my favorite of all time Christmas movie.
2 days.
2 days. We get to watch it. And they have that savings and loan or whatever. And everybody, like, the stock market's crashing.
Oh, yeah. Everybody comes to take their money out of the bank. Everybody comes
to take the money out of the bank. And they don't really have the money because he's explaining, well, your money is in this guy's house. And your money is in this guy's house. And your money's here and your money's there. And so they didn't, the banks, the savings and loan or whatever it was, didn't really have their money.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, that's totally off topic. Sorry.
No, that's okay. Because
we get to watch that movie in 2 days.
I know. I'm excited too. Very looking forward to it. Very much so. While that was English. Okay, so now we're on to Christmas Day of 1929. So Marie, she got up super early in the morning. She's getting ready to make her favorite dessert of all time, her holiday treat to the family. So she got up early, began to mix her butter, sugar, her egg whites. She was rolling a cup of raisins and flour, and then she began to pour the mixture into 2 round pans. Again, her world famous dessert.
Right.
Her family tradition. So she's doing this, and while the cake is cooling and they're waiting for, you know, her to dress it, basically, Charlie and Arthur, wow, I can't English today.
Yeah, Arthur is a hard one, though. I'll give you that.
It is a hard one.
Yeah, it's like you want to naturally say author.
Yeah.
But it's Arthur.
That's why it keeps falling off my tongue.
Yeah.
And so Charlie and Arthur and then their 2 beagles went out rabbit hunting while the cake was cooling, while they're waiting to do all their Christmas stuff. This is by afternoon time at this point. This was a tradition in the area that everybody, well, not everybody, but fathers and sons went rabbit hunting. That was like the thing that they did, was they went rabbit hunting.
Male bonding.
Male bonding, sure.
I don't know.
So in the area that they lived in as well, like I said, it's a farmhouse. There's some land for farming, but there's also woods nearby. So they just walked out their front door and went rabbit hunting.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah. Not like they had to go tremendously far.
Right. They walked out their door into the forest and started hunting rabbits.
Yeah, exactly.
Like Elmer Fudd. Sorry, because as soon as I said hunting rabbits, I was like, hunting rabbits.
Oh, wow.
Sorry, my brain does some stuff that I can't explain.
So Charlie was like, oh, shoot. Arthur, we ran out of ammunition. Do you mind running to Germantown to go get some more ammunition? We ran out. We need some more. And so they can keep rabbit hunting. So, of course, Arthur went, like, followed his father's commands. He went to town and got some more ammunition so they could continue their hunting spree.
Right. Hunting spree.
Hunting fest. What do you call it?
I don't know. Hunting trip.
Yeah. For trip is probably better. But is it a trip if you just walk out your front door to go?
Wouldn't reel that right back in as soon as I said it. But hunting excursion.
Experience. Anyway, okay. So Marie, she was just finishing up in the kitchen back at the farm. And Carrie, who was the 12-year-old, right? Mm-hmm. And Mabel, who was, was she 6 or was she 7?
7.
She's 7. Said. Okay, the 7-year-old. Yeah, again, conflicting reports, my dude.
So hard.
Especially, it's so old.
Yeah. Well, in even a new case, like you find 6 things in one place that say something, and then you just try to get information to corroborate it, and you get like 5 different other answers, and it's like,
it's like, which one's the truth?
Right, so you have to go with the most.
Right, the most logical, the one that's repeated the most information. Yeah,
the one that seems most credible because it's reported the most.
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
But there was not a ton of things on this case.
Oh, I'm sure.
So Carrie and Maybelle, they decided to go see their aunt and uncle who live nearby, right? Like I said, the reason why they moved to this area. And by the way, they're not directly in Germantown. They're in Stokes County.
Okay.
So like it's the nearest town is Germantown, which is very close, but they're in Stokes County.
So they're like on the outskirts of town.
Basically.
Okay.
So they decided to move there again because they were closer to Charlie's brothers. So Marie and Carrie, Carrie and Maybelle, they were like, I want to go see aunt and uncle. Let's go.
Aww.
So they left the house. Unbeknownst to anybody, Charlie was out there waiting by the tobacco barn. And when his little girls went running by the tobacco barn, he shot them dead.
Oh my God.
And then he bludgeoned them to death with the handle of a hoe. And then he dragged their bodies into the tobacco barn.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That I didn't see that coming.
Dirty dick.
Yeah, I didn't see that coming.
Yeah.
I figured it would be an outside job, not an inside job.
Well, head injury.
Oh, yeah. Forgot.
the brain injury, the TBI.
Hit yourself in the head with an axe.
Yeah, I guess that'll do it, right?
Right.
Note to self, don't ever do that.
Yeah, that seems like bad.
So yeah, this is obviously like a horrible start to Christmas Day.
Yeah.
Even worse for Maybelle and Carrie.
Yeah, that's terrible.
Yeah, and again, I just want to like stress the proximity of their house to the forest. That, you know, when Marie and Fanny and the boys, everybody's hearing these gunshots, that, oh, they're just rabbit hunting. Not, oh, somebody's shooting at my family.
Yeah, I didn't even think of that.
Yeah, but that yeah, it's
probably, it wouldn't be like,
it's just norm to hear.
Right, and you wouldn't go investigate because it is the...
Yeah, exactly. It's not like if we heard it outside of our door. It's like, is somebody shooting a neighbor or somebody shooting a coyote?
Right. Sad.
Yeah.
Really sad.
It is really sad. So when Charlie, he decided when he moved the girls' bodies into the barn, he went back to the house and his wife, Fanny, she's sitting on the front porch peeling potatoes for Christmas dinner.
Aww.
He shoots her. Bang, bang.
She's trying to make him dinner.
I know. Being That's a good housewife.
Super rude.
Yeah.
That's not cool.
No.
And it's Christmas.
It's Christmas. Being a good wife.
Yeah. Even if it wasn't Christmas, it's still not cool.
No. It's extra not cool anytime, but it's extra super not cool right now on Christmas Day.
Yeah, that's really bad.
So, of course, you know, that's proximity to the house. Mm-hmm. Like, that's close to the house. Front porch. Yeah. So he's reloading his shells into his shotgun as Marie is running towards the front door. And then he comes in the house, bang, he shoots her.
Oh, that's so sad.
Yeah.
And just, I know you don't have the answer, but why would you run into the gunfire instead of away from it?
Probably because she wanted to know what was happening.
Yeah, curiosity.
Yeah, like, oh, did they just kill something right there?
Right.
I don't think it was a panic. I would assume, you know, her dad and her brother are hunting. It's probably not a panicked run.
Well, obviously, if you're running into it.
Yeah, it's probably like, oh, maybe they got something right out front.
Right. So you did have the answer.
Not that. Well, I don't necessarily. I can just assume, because a big thing that was, you know, stressed in this case when I'm reading about it is it was something that they would have heard.
Okay.
Anyway.
So it's an educated guess based on your research.
Yes.
So that's good.
Yes. All right. I'm going to carry on. So he opens the door again. He shoots Marie. Her body lands right next to the fireplace. It's right by the fireplace.
Aww.
And then after that, he reloaded his gun yet again. And his two sons, James and Raymond, were hiding. They heard the gunshots inside the house on the porch. They're hiding for their dear lives.
Aww.
He found them and he killed them.
That's so sad.
His little babies. Yeah. His baby boys. And then he also found baby Mary Lou and bludgeoned her to death with the not so business end of his gun.
Oh, that's sad.
Yeah. It's horrible.
Yeah, that makes me sad.
I'm not trying to act like unempathetic here. I'm just at a loss for words and trying to present the case.
Yes, I can appreciate that.
Yeah.
And I'm usually not the one with all the feelings.
I know, it's weird. It's always me with all the feelings.
Right, but this is sad.
It is, it's horrible.
Yeah.
I told you it's a whirlwind.
Yeah.
When we were talking about like cases we're going to present to each other, I was like, Mom, this case is crazy.
Yes, you did.
I was like, holy fuck. I was like, I'm not going to spill the beans, but I will spill the beans. I guess we should have put the trigger warning in the beginning. Trigger warning, death of children.
Yeah, I guess so. But I feel like our podcast, that's disturbing.
You don't necessarily need a trigger warning for it.
In and of itself should be a trigger warning.
Right. So Charlie, he then moved all the victims strategically to be in a line with one another and put the baby in her crib, and he placed pillows underneath all of their heads and crossed their arms on their chest so like they were grabbing their own hearts.
Aw, so sad.
So, you know, he placed them there like, I don't know, it's almost confusing. It's like, you know how they talk about on like other things, other podcasts, or like even the show like Criminal Minds, like this person was shot in the back so the person who killed them didn't have to look into their face
mm-hmm.
when they killed them. Like that's a personal crime, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like he did this as like his last stitch, like, I love you, I'm sorry, or something of that nature, you know? Some kind of remorse, maybe?
Yeah, maybe.
Or just wanting them to look peaceful?
Maybe.
So... I don't either.
It's tragic.
It is. It's so sad any way you shake it. Well, okay, some reports said that it was pillows that he placed under their heads, and other reports said it was rocks. But anyway, he did the same thing to Carrie and Maybelle, who were in the barn. He placed them like that with rocks under their heads and left them in the barn.
Aww.
I know.
I wish he would have moved them in with their mom, since he put all the bodies together.
I know.
But he put the baby in the crib.
He did. He put the baby in the crib.
Yeah.
She might have already been in the crib when he got to her, but... Yeah. Tragic. So Arthur or some other family members, I'm not quite sure who it was. It could have been Claude Lawson. I saw a report saying, an interview actually from the 90s, saying that it was him.
The 1890s or the 1990s?
The 1990s.
Okay.
This happened in the 90s or in the 1929. So it was in the 1900s.
Oh, that's right. My bad.
anyway, somebody within the family, they found the bodies in the house. Mm-hmm. And they reported that they looked peaceful because of the way that Charlie had staged the bodies, but obviously, like, a tragedy went down here.
Yeah.
And then while they're at the house, like, investigating and calling police to come over, you know, doing the whole nine, they hear a gunshot in the woods. So Charlie, after he got done doing what he did with his family, like strategically placing their bodies, he ran into the woods and then he leaned himself back against a tree. He forked a He took a forked stick to press the trigger of his 12-gauge shotgun, and he shot himself directly in the heart.
Well, I don't have words, because...
He just did all this.
Yeah, he just did all this, so... But it sucks that he's not going to get justice.
That his family, you mean, is not going to get justice?
Well, that he's not going to be served justice, I suppose. Right. The words I'm looking for.
No, I agree.
But he just took himself out.
So the police were led to him and the family because of his dogs. Remember, he took his dogs out shooting with him, and they were howling by his body, just like mourning for him. And so they were lured there by the sounds of the dogs, just mourning. And they had found some, it's like I said, 6 to 8 inches of snow on the ground. Mm-hmm. So they had found some fresh trails of some shoe prints around the tree of, so it's assumed that he was probably pacing around the tree, probably like, what did I just do, you know, thinking things through. But there's these footsteps to show that he was pacing around the tree before he took his own life. And also, when police searched his body, they found the $60, which was used to pay for the family's funeral expenses, which is at least good in that regard.
It is good in that regard.
And then again, these are, of course, conflicting reports, but they said that they have found letters he had written to his parents and a crumpled up piece of paper, or a couple of them anyway, with incomplete notes. One of the notes said, blame nobody but, and then another one of the notes said, troubles can cause. But then there's another report that says there was one crumpled up piece of paper, well, and still the notes to his parents, but one crumpled up piece of paper that said, blame nobody but I.
Did they say what the note to his parents said?
No.
Oh,
no, there's
that.
No information on what those said.
I hate that.
They were probably just given directly to the parents, not reported on. Especially in that time. I doubt the police are reading them. They're like, oh, he killed himself.
Right.
That's nothing sad. Important. Nothing important that we care to look for. So there were too many bodies. It overwhelmed the Walnut Cove funeral home, which was where they would have probably gone if, you know, just one person had passed away.
Mm-hmm.
So it overwhelmed that place. So they were all taken to Yelton's on Murphy Street in Madison, which, if you are familiar, are at all familiar with the show 28 Days Haunted, that's new on Netflix. One of the pairs of medium and psychic person, whatever, the ghost investigator, are staying at this place.
Oh, wow.
And I guess I haven't seen the show, but I guess they gave a quick shout out to the family in the show.
Well, that was nice of them.
Which I'm interested to watch for that reason.
Yeah. Also something about the lumber baron in that show.
Yeah.
Yeah, which goes back to our Haunted Denver Metro Part 1.
Weird. Yep. Maybe we need to do one on the third location there.
Maybe.
Talk about it. So anyway, the funeral, it took place in a cemetery near the crime scene. It drew in thousands of people. It was the biggest event in the country for a very long time. There was even, like, stories about it that made New York Times front pages. Like, this didn't happen how we see mass murders happen so frequently these days.
Right.
Like, once a week, probably, there's some kind of mass murder.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Like, that just didn't happen back then.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's unrealistic to think that people weren't killing other people.
Oh,
but
yeah,
it wasn't 100%. In this way.
Yeah.
And it's just not as common as it is today.
Yeah.
So, of course, you know, a family massacre like this made headlines. And sweet little baby Mary Lou, she was buried in her mom's arms.
Aww.
And the whole family is buried together. They're buried at the Broder Family Cemetery in Stokes County.
Mm-hmm.
Now we get to the question of why. Why did he do this?
Yeah, that's what I want to know.
Why did any of this even have to happen? Like,
axe head injury?
Yeah, that's one of the theories. That's what, like, his friends and his family genuinely believe. And people who knew him, they said that this is not in his character, but then his whole personality and everything about him him just began to shift and change when he got his head injury.
So it did cause some trauma.
Yeah.
Some legit trauma.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, okay. That's what it's reported to have been said. But apparently when they took him to John Hopkins Hospital to have his brain examined, which again, I don't know how accurate this would be for that time, right? They don't have the medicines that could have cured the son.
Right.
How accurate could this be for that time? They said that nothing was wrong, but then another report said that his brain was under.
Well, I'm just thinking they don't have brain scans and stuff, but they do have, they've compared one brain to another brain to another brain, so they could tell if his brain's underdeveloped.
But they wouldn't be able to see, what neuron firings and stuff happening.
TBI damage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So, yeah, just there was a lot of speculation about why he did this to everybody except for his own, his oldest son. And a lot of people speculated that he didn't do this to his oldest son because when we post the picture of the photo family surprise, the mm-hmm. Christmas surprise on the Instagram, we'll label who's who in the image.
Okay.
Arthur, is way taller, way broader than Charlie. Okay. So people believe that he would have probably tried to stop him and fight the gun off of him.
Yeah.
Which I don't blame him. Yeah. I would have too.
Yeah, I was thinking that.
I'm gonna fight them off. Them. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So most people anyway believe that his head wound was to blame. But there were other rumors going around about Charlie and the family that one person said another fellow sharecropper had said that they had seen an organized crime of some sort. Again, not very many details, kind of just hearsay.
Right.
That he and his family were killed to silence them, to keep them from talking, or he killed himself and his family to protect them from whatever this organized crime he had seen.
Okay.
And then there's another theory. So this claim is that Charlie and Marie, that they had an relationship that didn't come out until the year 1990 when the book White Christmas, Bloody Christmas came out.
That's
gross.
Yeah, incestuous relationship.
Yeah.
His daughter.
Which probably isn't true. He's probably molesting his daughter.
Well, yeah.
It's not cousin love.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not cousin love. This is molestation. And
yeah, straight up.
Rape.
If it's true.
If it's true, of course. This is all just speculation. So the author of this book interviewed Stella Lawson, who was a relative of the family. And she basically said that she had overheard Fanny, remember Fanny's the mom,
mm-hmm.
that her sisters-in-law and aunts, including Stella's own mother, who was Jetty Lawson, basically say Fanny had mentioned to everybody that she was worried about this relationship between Charlie and Marie and that it was too close to being incestuous.
Huh.
They're too close. This is almost weird.
Yeah.
This is gonna get weird. They're so close.
Yeah.
And so Jetty Lawson, she passed away in the beginning of 1928, which suggests that, Fanny knew about this for a long time then.
Right. Yeah, because she passed away a year before.
Almost two years before
this happened.
Yeah, so that suggests that Fanny knew about this for a while, if this is true.
If it's true.
And then a second book was written by the same author called The Meaning of Our Tears. And this book came out in 2006, which gave the whole incestuous affair more support.
Okay.
And that's because Ella May, who was Marie Lawson's closest and best friend, they had had a sleepover a few weeks prior to Christmas when all of this took place.
Mm-hmm.
And Marie had confided in her friend that she was pregnant. The baby was her dad's.
Ugh, that makes me nauseous.
But she also said that Charlie and Fanny knew about it.
Also way more nauseous than the previous sentence.
Yeah, that her parents know that she's pregnant with her dad's kid.
Yeah, that's disgusting.
But then there's also things that said that Charlie possibly killed the whole family because he threatened her if it ever came out. If your mom finds out about this, if anybody else finds out about this, then I'm going to kill everybody.
Alrighty.
And then another person who was close to the family named Hill Hampton, he was also asked to talk for the books. He was also asked to be interviewed. And he said that he knew that the family was having serious issues, but that he didn't know what these problems were. And he didn't want to say what they were. He didn't feel right disclosing that information.
So he didn't want to add to hearsay.
Yeah.
Because nobody's around to defend themselves or give the right story.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, the three people who were involved in this possibly right. are not around to say anything regarding it.
Right.
So, but again, Charlie's friends and family believe that this act of violence that he committed, not only against himself, but his family, was all due to his brain injury.
Well, I would like to think that that's why.
I would too.
Yeah.
I don't want to believe that he's raping his daughter. However, I also don't want to, I don't like the fact that he's killing his whole family, but perhaps he didn't. Perhaps it was all staged and it was the organized crime people.
Maybe.
Yeah. I mean, that was a theory that happened.
That was a theory.
That, you know, they witnessed or that he witnessed some sort of organized crime taking place and that he was... He and his whole family were silenced, so they didn't have any say about it.
All right.
So souvenir hunters, of course, you know, the time period, they started showing up at Charlie's house, and his brother Marion, he put up a fence, and he started charging people to get in.
Well, that's tacky.
Yeah.
I can't think of another word.
It's very tacky. Yeah. And so on display at the house, they had Marie's cake, but then people started stealing the raisins off of the cake. And again, you know, this is an unfinished cake. She didn't even have time to frost it and do everything to it that she was hoping to do.
Yeah, people are wrong.
People suck. And so they put it in a glass case so, you know, they could preserve it and people could continue to look at it but not steal things off of it. But people had reportedly, okay, this is gross, get this. People had reportedly scooped up blood that was like muddled on the floor
gross.
Into jars.
Oh, that's really bad.
And apparently, like, people pass it down from generations. Like, somebody has the gun that Charlie killed himself and the whole family with. That's been, like, passed down through family generations, but somebody online has Fanny's blood. Or what they think is Fanny's. Well, I guess they would know because it was on the front porch.
Yeah, that's creepy.
Yeah.
Because I could see the gun because, like, that's memorabilia and people like that stuff.
Right. But the blood. But
the blood is a little...
Which is all coagulated and just fucking...
Yeah, yeah.
Probably not even existed anymore. It's probably just dried to the side of this thing.
Yeah, it's... That's a little...
Gross.
Over the top, yeah.
A little overkill.
Yeah.
No pun intended. Right, overkill. So over time, unfortunately, the Lawson house was torn down, even though Arthur, he did everything he could to try and keep the home for himself.
Uh-huh.
Because, you know, it was his family's home. His dad worked so hard to buy it.
Right.
And they were fixing it up every night.
Yeah.
And so he worked so hard to try and keep it. And that's why his uncle, you know, was doing this so they could raise the money for him to be able to keep the house. Even though it was a tourist attraction there for a little bit of time.
I'm like, I mean, the sentiment is there, but it's kind
of... Right. It's one of those things. It's like a catch-22. Like, yeah, it's my family's house, but it's also the house my family was murdered in.
Yeah.
And now it's a tourist attraction because people have these...
Morbid curiosity.
Yes, exactly. That's what I was looking for.
Yeah.
Like these.
I could see you grasping in the air.
Yes. So anyway, yeah, he tried to keep the house, didn't end up working out for him. So he went on to marry a woman named Nina and have four children. Aww. But unfortunately, he passed away at the age of 32 in 1945, and he died in an auto accident. And he's buried alongside the rest of his family.
Well, that's nice.
So
it's sad that he died.
It is sad that he
died. He's buried with his family.
Yeah, exactly. It is nice that he's buried with his family. And I looked online, too. Nina went on to get married. And, yeah, she went on to live a full life. And I think she died in, like, the 80s or 90s.
Aww.
She was a few years younger than him. Anyway, some reports... So, like, we know for a fact that he died from a car accident, but some reports said that he may or may not have been drinking and driving when he passed away, and that he was an alcoholic, and, you know, after everything that had happened to him in his life, like, he just really took to the bottle as medicine.
Right.
As a cure-all.
Yeah, which I don't know what to say about that, because, you know, I don't get to have an opinion about that. People have different coping mechanisms.
Right. The only thing that's crazy to me is that this is during Prohibition time.
Yeah, that doesn't mean anything.
I was just thinking, like, well, I guess in the 40s it wouldn't have been Prohibition time, but during the 30s it was. Yeah. Or I don't know when Prohibition, like, and ended.
Google it. No.
No, I don't have time for that. We'll holla at you next episode. We need to start writing this down. We said we'd talk about this. We said we'd talk about that. We need to just do, like, a housekeeping at the beginning of every episode there before the disturbing fact.
Exactly. But do we have a pen and paper right here?
Nope. No. You're holding a puppy and I am looking at a computer screen with my notes on it. So the event was remembered in a number of ways. There was a ballad that was written called The Murder of the Lawson Family, which the Carolina Buddies first recorded for Columbia Records in the year 1930. And then it was later covered by the Stanley Brothers in March 1956.
I'm
sure it's pretty...
A way to commemorate, I guess.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. And again, there's that show 28 Days Haunted where they're in the facility where they were embalmed. Mm-hmm. And then I just want to read you the headstone inscription on the families.
Am I going to cry?
I don't know.
Probably not, because I don't cry.
It's sad, but it brings the whole thing very full circle. So they have, the way that their headstones are, is there's tiny headstones for all of the kids, except for Mary Lou, because she's obviously buried in her mom's arms. Mm-hmm. So there's a big headstone that says Charles and Fanny and Mary Lou on it. Mm-hmm. And this headstone reads, "Not now, but in the coming years, it will be a better land. We'll read the meaning of our tears, and then sometime we'll understand." And so that just kind of brings it back full circle, like the meaning of our tears.
Yeah.
It's sad.
It's really sad.
Very tragic.
Yeah, it kind of gave me the chills a little bit.
Yeah, these are obviously tragic events. And then some people say that when leaves fall in the cemetery, they fall on all of the graves except for Charlie's.
That's weird.
That is weird.
Because you would think the most leaves would fall on his grave.
Right? That the universe is like, fuck you. We're covering you up. Yeah. But no, maybe it's because the universe doesn't want to share anymore with him.
Maybe.
Gaia's like, nope.
That's interesting and bizarre.
Right? So what'd you think about today's case, Mama?
I liked it. I mean...
as much as you can.
Yeah, you presented it very well, let's just say that.
The story was good, but the story sucks.
It wasn't a good story. You presented the story well. It was a sad, sad story. Really sad story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like I'm figuring it out. My next one will be nothing to do with children. So
I've heard that before.
No, I mean it. The next one has nothing to do with kids.
Okay.
I swear.
All right. I'm going to hold you to that.
I swear.
Okay.
And the next one I'm doing is actually going to be a two-parter, like a back-to-back two-parter.
Nice.
Yeah.
So I get a week off?
You do. You get a week off recording, not editing.
Oh, yeah.
You decided you liked it better than I like editing. So we like to stick Mom in the driver's seat for this from now on.
Sounds good. Sort of.
All right. Well, Merry Christmas, my friends.
Yeah, Merry Christmas. And happy holidays all around.
Yes, all of the holiday season right now. Take care and have a good one and stay warm since it's literally 0 degrees outside in Colorado right now.
Right. And love your family. Don't kill them.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Don't kill them. That's just...
Side note.
Yeah. Sounds like a bad idea. Nobody wants to experience. That's also what I was going to say. I'm sorry. It just makes everything more heightened. Oh, I guess I could do a little bit of housekeeping now, actually, while we're still on, while I haven't hit end on the recording. Even though I'm like, bye. I didn't mean to be insensitive in the last case by my giggling. However, it was just such like a what the fuck. But honestly, our hearts do go out to everybody in these cases that we talk about. Yeah. It's a horrible, like, there is no reason to go out there and take another life. No. There just is no reason for it.
There is no reason for it.
There's absolutely no reason. That's why in Harry Potter, they're called the three unforgivable curses.
Yes.
These are unforgivable actions of individuals that can't be taken back and cannot be forgiven.
No, can't undo it.
No, absolutely not.
And there's never a reason.
Nope. So I just wanted to come up here and say that again, that I didn't mean any disrespect with anything that I said. I was just live reacting to what was being presented to me. And all of the downtown posse, they fucking suck and they're laughable. But the things that they did were horrible, terrible, heinous, senseless, brutal, unholy. Honestly, just unholy acts.
Yeah. Bad, bad, bad stuff.
Yeah.
And especially, I mean... I don't want to say especially because there was no motive, because there's, like we said, there's never a reason except for maybe in some major self-defense.
Right.
Where you have to kill somebody to save your life or somebody in your family's life. And I hope nobody ever has to experience that. So anyway, on that note, again, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, be safe.
Yeah, stay safe and stay warm and love your family. Hug them extra tight this year. Take care. Bye-bye.